All right, so today we're diving into something I think a lot of people find really fascinating,
Oh, yeah.
which is how a totally basic product,
Yeah.
like, something you'd find anywhere, can become like a high-end brand, like something
Right.
people really, really want and will pay a lot of money for.
Exactly.
So you shared some really interesting sources for this, looking at, big names like Apple and Rolex. And even like the story of Yeti coolers.
That's a good one.
Yeah. So the goal here is to like break down the actual steps involved in making that leap from ordinary to extraordinary, where you can really command that premium price.
I think one of the most interesting things that the sources point out is that it's not necessarily just about better materials or manufacturing. It's often the brand itself, like this intangible thing that actually justifies the higher cost.
Totally.
And so we're going to kind of dig into those strategies behind building that
Excellent.
elevated brand presence.
Yeah. So let's start with something really fundamental that all the sources emphasize, which is like the brand story. So the idea that premium brands, they're not just selling a thing, they're selling like an idea,
They are.
a meaning.
Definitely.
So it's about creating this really distinctive narrative. So like beyond just making a profit, what are the core ingredients of this narrative?
I think at its heart, it's about answering the question of why does this brand exist? Like, what are its core values? The principles that guide its decisions? And what's its unique perspective on the
Well,
world?
like, what do they actually believe in?
Exactly. What makes their approach different? And so to kind of nail this down, a lot of companies look back at their origins, identify key moments or challenges they overcame, or even tap into the personal stories of their founders.
Yeah, it's almost like finding that authentic origin story.
Totally. Yeah, that makes it compelling.
And Patagonia, which came up in the material, is such a good example of this
It is.
because they're not just selling like outdoor gear. Their real commitment to environmental activism has like turned their products into a statement.
It had.
Like when you buy Patagonia, you're kind of aligning yourself with those values,
Definitely.
and that's part of how they command those premium prices
Yep.
and build such a loyal following.
Exactly. And if you look at Patagonia's mission statement, it's not just marketing fluff. Like it's deeply embedded in everything they do. And so, as the sources emphasize, developing a mission that reflects those premium values, whether that's craftsmanship or innovation, exclusivity, sustainability, or heritage, those become like the cornerstones that elevates a product.
Like beyond just the typical
Exactly.
clickbait.
It sets them apart.
So you've got this really compelling story, but as our sources wisely point out, you can't just have the image, you have to have the substance to back it up.
You do.
So step two focuses on actually upgrading the product,
Yes.
the design, and crucially, the quality.
So this is where the rubber meets the road,
It is,
right? Like
yeah.
the brand story creates that initial allure, it sets expectations,
Sets the stage.
but ultimately the product itself has to deliver on that promise
It
of
does.
premium quality.
And Yeti is such a good example of this.
Oh, it is.
I mean, a cooler becoming like a $300 plus status symbol.
No.
It's
But the
crazy.
sources make it really clear. It was that dramatic leap in quality and durability.
It really
It's not just
exceeded.
your flimsy cooler from, years past.
Right, like the styrofoam ones.
Exactly. These are built to
For like
last.
tanks.
They are. And so I think it's interesting how they took this, very utilitarian object and elevated it through sheer quality. And so the sources recommend, really scrutinizing your materials, thinking about are there options that offer better performance or longevity, even if they cost more upfront. It's also about refining your manufacturing process to ensure that durability and incorporating those thoughtful design elements that actually improve the product's functionality.
Yeah, like thinking about how it's actually going to be used.
Exactly. And then those little details in craftsmanship that are often overlooked in mass production, those become really important.
Yeah, like the little things that you wouldn't even think about.
Right.
Yeah.
Like Yeti might have focused on the type of insulation they use or the hinges.
Yeah.
And those seemingly small things contribute to the overall perception.
The whole experience.
Exactly.
Yeah, so it's not just what's inside.
Right.
It's also about how it looks and feels.
It is.
So the material touches on investing in thoughtful and distinctive design.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So premium products often have a very distinct aesthetic.
Okay.
The sources talk about the importance of clean, minimalist designs.
Right.
That convey sophistication.
Right.
Thoughtful ergonomics.
Which is
basically, you know,
okay,
designing something.
Yeah.
For the user's comfort,
gotcha,
and ease of use.
Makes sense.
And then those like signature design elements that become instantly recognizable.
Right, like part of the brand.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so paying attention to every little detail from like the stitching on a leather bag to the finish on a metal component, like that's all really paramount.
Wow.
And I think in the luxury world, design isn't just decoration.
That's right.
It's fundamental to the brand's identity.
Totally.
And it communicates value.
Okay, so we've got the story.
Right.
We've got the quality backing it up.
Yep.
Now comes something I think a lot of people might initially overlook.
Okay.
Which is the packaging.
Oh, yeah.
The sources really emphasize that for premium brands, the experience begins even before you use the product.
It does.
With the packaging itself.
That's right.
Okay.
The packaging is your first physical encounter with that brand.
It's true.
And it plays a huge role in building anticipation and signaling the value.
Like setting the tone.
It's like the opening act of the whole experience.
And they get into the psychology of this, which I thought was fascinating. It's like the weight of the box, the texture of the materials, like this multi-layered unveiling.
Right.
And even like the sound it makes when you open it.
The sound is important.
It's wild.
I know.
But it's all these subtle details that like tap into our subconscious perceptions of like quality and worth.
Exactly.
And the sources point to Apple.
Yeah.
Like their meticulous packaging.
That's amazing.
That like, you know, precise fit of the box, the way each component is presented, it's like a precious artifact.
It is.
It really
is. It's very deliberate.
So if we want to elevate our packaging, what are some key elements to consider?
So the sources highlight using substantial high-quality materials.
Okay.
Things like, you know, thick textured papers or even sustainable options that still feel luxurious.
Yeah.
Incorporating premium printing techniques.
Like what?
Like foil stamping, which adds that metallic sheen.
Okay.
Or embossing.
Yes.
Which creates that raised design.
Right.
And then the design itself should be really clean and minimalist, utilizing white space to create a sense of elegance.
Gotcha.
And then personalized touches.
Okay.
Like handwritten notes or custom inserts can create that stronger connection.
Yeah, like that personal touch.
Exactly. Yeah. And then the source makes a really good point about considering sustainable luxury materials.
Right.
Because, you know, responsibility is increasingly becoming a part of the luxury narrative.
Totally.
So,
okay, so we've got the story.
Right.
We've got the product itself.
Yeah.
We've got the packaging.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how do you create that overall high-value brand perception?
So this is where consistency becomes key.
Okay.
Right? Like every visual representation, every piece of communication needs to convey luxury.
Okay.
Like consistently.
So like give me some specific examples. Like what does that actually look like?
So the sources talk about developing sophisticated branding elements.
Okay.
So that includes things like having a logo.
Yeah.
That's clean, refined,
right,
and often timeless in its design.
Okay.
Your color palette should be limited to sophisticated tones.
Bull.
So think like classic choices like black, gold, navy, white, deep greens.
Yeah.
These often evoke a sense of elegance and quality.
Takesha.
The typography you use should be elegant and readable and pay attention to details like kerning and spacing.
And kerning, just to clarify, is?
So kerning is like the adjustments made.
Okay.
To space between letters.
Gotcha.
To improve readability.
Makes sense.
And visual appeal.
Okay.
And then your photography should be really high quality.
Right.
Often showcasing your products in those like aspirational lifestyle settings.
Right.
And I think the consistency of brands like Louis Vuitton and Rolex over decades really underscores that.
That it works?
It does.
Yeah. Okay. So it's not just what it looks like. It's also how the brand communicates.
It is.
The messaging.
The messaging.
So talk to me about that.
So premium brand messaging, it typically emphasizes qualities.
Yeah.
Like heritage, craftsmanship, and exclusivity.
Okay.
And it often avoids direct mentions of like price or promotions.
It's kind of implied.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
The focus shifts to quality over quantity.
Right.
Highlighting scarcity or limited availability.
Yeah.
And emphasizing the overall experience and emotional benefits.
Rather than just listing features.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then the language itself tends to be sophisticated and precise.
Mm-hmm.
It avoids hyperbole.
Okay.
And kind of conveys this sense of quiet confidence and authority.
Like it knows what it is.
It does.
Yeah.
And this consistent brand voice needs to be present across all channels.
Totally.
From your website to your customer service.
Makes sense. Okay, now let's talk about the price tag. That's a really crucial element.
Yes.
In luxury.
It is.
The sources go into implementing a premium pricing strategy.
So price acts as a very powerful signal.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
And positioning your product at a higher price point is fundamental
to creating that image,
to creating that high-end image.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And the sources talk about something called the Veblen effect.
Yes.
Can you explain that?
So in a simplified way, it's the idea that for certain luxury goods, higher prices actually lead to increased demand.
So the more expensive it is,
the
more people want it.
Exactly. Because the higher price becomes associated with status.
Oh, I see.
And exclusivity.
It's like a signal.
It is.
Yeah.
Owning that expensive item becomes a way to signal wealth or membership in a certain social group.
Interesting.
And Tesla's pricing strategy is a good example.
Okay. How so?
They tend to maintain consistent prices.
Yeah.
Even if sales slow down.
Interesting.
They don't really offer discounts.
Okay.
Because they understand that price stability reinforces that premium position.
So you can't just slap a high price on something.
You can't.
And expect it to work.
No.
You have to have the justification.
You do.
Right.
Premium brands really excel at communicating their value.
Okay. So how do they do that?
So it involves educating consumers about the quality, the craftsmanship, any exclusive features that differentiate it from the mass market.
Yeah.
Emphasizing that long-term value or the cost per use rather than just the initial investment.
Right. Like thinking about, you know, you're going to have this for a really long time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then the sources also talk about sharing the story behind the production.
Right.
Highlighting the care, the skill, the expertise.
That makes it feel special.
So ultimately, they don't compete on price.
Right.
They create a value proposition that goes beyond that.
Okay, moving on to another element that really communicates luxury, which is exclusivity.
Yes.
The sources discuss the importance of creating scarcity and limiting availability.
So scarcity is a really potent trigger.
Okay.
When something is perceived as rare, difficult to obtain, the desirability and value increases dramatically.
Look at the basic psychology.
It is.
Yeah.
It's like we want what we can't have.
Totally. And there's different tactics brands can use for this, right?
There are.
The sources mentioned a few.
So they outline things like limited edition collections, seasonal releases, wait lists.
Oh, yeah.
Like the famous ones for Hermes Birkin bags.
Right.
Invitation only access.
Uh-huh.
Numbering products.
Okay.
Geographic exclusivity.
Gotcha.
Like limiting it to certain locations.
Yes.
And then a great example of this is Supreme.
Oh, yeah.
Which has become like a $1 billion brand.
That's crazy.
By using this principle of scarcity.
They're like the masters of
it. They are. Yeah. They release limited quantities.
Yeah.
Which causes them to sell out immediately.
And creates that secondary market.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then beyond just the product itself,
yeah,
the sources talk about creating VIP experiences.
Right.
And exclusive access.
Okay.
So these experiences really cultivate a deeper emotional connection.
Right.
And a strong sense of community.
Okay.
So this could be things like private shopping appointments.
Yeah.
early access to collections, mm-hmm. behind the scenes events,
right.
personalized products,
okay.
membership programs with benefits.
So it's about going yeah. above and beyond just the transaction.
It is.
Yeah. Okay. So you've made the sale.
Right.
But the journey doesn't end there.
It doesn't.
Especially for a luxury brand. So step seven is all about building that exceptional yep. luxury customer experience.
So for premium brands.
Yeah.
Every interaction mm-hmm. from first awareness
right.
to after the purchase
yeah.
really contributes to their perception.
That's all part of it.
It is.
Yeah.
And so the sources talk about mm-hmm. delivering white glove customer service.
Okay. So what does that actually look like?
So the Ritz-Carlton hotels
yeah.
are a great example.
Okay.
Their approach is designed mm-hmm. to create these memorable experiences.
Right.
And a key element is empowering their employees to go above and beyond
right.
to address any issues
yeah.
and create those positive moments.
So it's about giving them that power.
It is.
Yeah.
And so for your brand,
yeah.
this translates to personalized communication, mm-hmm. proactive service.
Okay.
So anticipating their needs.
Right.
Seamless experience across channels,
yeah.
extended warranties, mm-hmm. and consistently following up after the purchase.
So it's those little things too, right?
It is. So. Every touch point.
Yeah.
So your website needs to be visually appealing and easy to use.
Mm-hmm.
Communication should be prompt and professional.
Right.
The delivery should be reliable.
Yeah.
The packaging should reflect the brand.
Right.
And even the returns process
yeah.
needs to be easy.
Because even a single negative interaction
can really damage that yeah. image.
Okay, so we've got the product
yeah.
and the experience dialed in.
Yep.
How do you actually market this high-end brand?
So this is where high-end marketing mm-hmm. and brand positioning comes in.
Okay.
And it requires a different mindset
yeah.
than mass market advertising.
Right.
The focus shifts.
Yeah.
away from listing features and really concentrates on aspiration.
Right, like creating that desire.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And showcasing a lifestyle.
Okay, so the sources talk about creating aspirational imagery.
They do.
So what does that look like?
So think about brands like Chanel or Gucci.
Okay.
Their advertising
yeah.
rarely shows the product alone.
Right.
They create these worlds
yeah.
where their products fit into a lifestyle.
Yeah.
So this involves yeah. high-quality lifestyle photography, okay. storytelling that evokes emotion,
mm-hmm.
content with high production values,
yeah.
collaborations with artists,
right.
and photography that feels like
yeah.
it's from a luxury magazine.
Like it's editorial.
Exactly. Okay. The goal is to transport mm-hmm. the customer into that world.
I see.
And it's not just the visuals you create.
Right.
It's also who you associate with.
Okay.
Strategic partnerships.
Mm-hmm.
So this could be collaborations with other brands.
Yeah.
Celebrity endorsements.
Mm-hmm.
Exclusive events.
Right.
Selective retail partners.
Mm-hmm.
Content partnerships with publications.
So it's about being very intentional.
It is.
With those choices.
It is.
Yeah. Okay. Finally, we arrive at step nine, creating emotional branding.
Yes.
And strong brand associations.
This is what ties everything together.
It is.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day,
mm-hmm.
people are buying luxury products.
Yeah.
Not just for what they do, but for how they make them feel.
It's about the emotion.
It is.
The aspiration.
And the sources use Hermes as a really good example.
Oh, they do?
They say they're not just selling handbags.
Right.
They're selling like membership
yeah.
to an exclusive club.
That's a great way to put it.
Yeah.
Like their customers aren't just buying a bag.
Right.
They're buying into a heritage
yeah.
of craftsmanship,
mm-hmm.
elegance,
yeah.
and the feeling of belonging
right.
to that select group.
It's like a whole identity.
It is.
Yeah.
And so to build those connections,
yeah.
the sources suggest identifying the aspirational identity of your customer
okay.
and crafting messaging
yeah.
to speak to that.
Right.
Focusing on the emotional benefits,
uh-huh.
fostering a sense of community,
yeah,
and emphasizing that transformative impact
okay.
of owning the product.
So it's really about understanding like the psychology of the customer.
It is.
And what they're really looking for.
Totally.
And establishing strong associations is so key.
It is.
Right.
Like you want people to see your logo
yeah.
and immediately feel yeah. something.
Have that feeling.
That's the goal.
Yeah. Okay. So our sources also highlight some common pitfalls.
They do.
That companies often make.
Yeah.
When trying to build a luxury brand.
Right.
What are some of the big ones?
So one is imitation.
Okay.
Rather than innovation.
So just copying what everyone else is doing.
Exactly. Yeah. It signals a lack of originality
right.
and authenticity.
Which is not good.
Not good.
Yeah.
true luxury brands.
Yeah.
They find their unique proposition.
Okay.
Another mistake is overcomplicating design.
Oh, yeah.
People think that more details
equals
more luxury.
Right.
But often it's the opposite.
It's about the restraint.
It is.
Yeah.
And then inconsistent experience can also undermine that image.
Yeah, like if you have a beautiful website.
Yeah.
But then terrible customer service.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then finally discounting and promotions.
Right.
That erodes the perceived value.
Yeah, like it makes it feel less special.
Exactly.
So instead of discounts, focus on adding value.
Yes.
In other ways.
Like through services or experiences.
Gotcha. Okay, so to kind of recap our deep dive here.
Yeah.
We've seen that transforming a product into a high-end brand is a really multifaceted process.
Okay.
It involves redefining the brand story, upgrading the quality, elevating the packaging, cultivating that perception, implementing a pricing strategy, creating exclusivity, building the customer experience, and focusing on emotional branding.
So many elements.
It is.
But I think what's really fascinating is how they all work together.
Yeah.
It's about creating this cohesive identity that resonates with the customer and fosters that loyalty.
That makes them willing to pay more.
Exactly.
And on that note,
here's
a final thought for you.
Okay.
Take a look around at the everyday objects in your life.
Okay.
And think about which ones have transcended their basic function through branding. Yeah.
Is it their story?
Mm-hmm.
Their design?
Your exclusivity?
The way they make you feel?
Yeah.
It's a fascinating exercise
it is.
In understanding
yeah.
the power of premium branding.
So thanks for taking this deep dive with us.
Absolutely.
We'll see you next time.